Welcome to Crash Concepts, where the economy, energy, and the environment are explored. Up next, fresh ideas and insights into the factors that are driving the world and shaping your future. Presenting information you can't afford to live without, here's Chris Martinson.
Welcome to this Peak Prosperity Podcast. I am your host, Chris Martinson, and today we are going to delve into one of the most important topics of life, no matter what sort of future arrives, being in shape. Now, note that I did not say getting in shape as if that were the goal, but being in shape. Now, whether your goal is to be more resilient or more healthy, or like me, both, being in shape is essential. However, if we were ranking the most confusing topics of our times, nutrition would be right near the top of my personal list. There's bad science, there's paid industry propaganda, there's good old-fashioned entrenched belief systems, all conspiring to keep nutritional information in a near perpetual state of murkiness. Now, as we now know, and probably should have always known, you are what you eat, and nutrition is undoubtedly the single most important input to your immediate and long-term state of health. Now, the good news is that the clouds are parting, and good science and solid research are now available, and we are lucky today to have back on the show one of the leaders in bringing this information to us. Today, we're talking with Mark Sisson, a prolific and energetic author, speaker, and businessman dedicated to changing how you eat, look, exercise, and feel. Now, if you've heard of the Paleo diet and the Primal Blueprint, you are familiar with his work already. His primary website is marksdailyapple.com, a website with an enormous wealth of information on health, fitness, nutrition, success stories, which I personally love, and a host of other resources. Now, we've linked to it at the bottom of the podcast, along with the first podcast for people interested in hearing Mark's background and the basics of the primal eating regime. Mark, it's a real pleasure to have you back on the show.
It's a pleasure to be back, Chris. Thanks for having me.
Well, since we are what we eat, our nutritional guidelines that form the food pyramid we see everywhere, and which inform the sorts of foods we feed to our kids every day in school lunches, for example, that should be as credible, defensible, and data-driven as the engineering that goes into the car I drive. Is it?
You'd think so, right?
Yeah, I would. Is it?
No. And therein lies probably one of the biggest problems we face, you know, as a society, is this reliance on a set of data that is 50 years old and was never really accurate to begin with, and yet we've seemed to come down this path where, despite our individual best interest to want to try and do the right thing, tell me what I need to do to be fit and lean and strong, we've been given horrendous advice, in my opinion. So one of the things that I've set about as my mission is to educate people and to provide information on what would be more appropriate choices if people said, I want to be healthy and resilient.
And so if we start on that with the food pyramid, just grossly speaking, what's wrong with it?
Well, a lot of things are wrong with it. First of all, it was created by some individuals within government policy-making committees that had no idea what they were doing, led astray by special interest groups, go figure, backed by science that was then reinvested in discovering once again the wrong outcomes. It was a horrendous mishmash of bad, you know, sketchy politics, shady special interests, and shoddy science. And the bottom line is, you know, 6 to 11 servings of grains a day form the basis of our food pyramid. And within the paleo and the primal movement, you know, we look at that as just an outrageous basis for anyone's diet. It's just a cheap source of calories that converts to glucose pretty quickly in your bloodstream, and that's the best you can say about it. It's fraught with industrial seed oils because we were told a long time ago to avoid saturated fats, even though saturated fats are not the proximate cause of heart disease or any of the issues that they seem to have been linked with. And yet we've been told then to avoid these saturated fats and to consume vegetable oils, corn oil, safflower oil, sunflower oil, canola. And it turns out these are the exact oils that have been helping to increase heart disease and even cancer. So it's those, and I could go on and on. I mean, there's an abundance of sugar. We now consume far more sugar than we had ever in any point in human history, and that's causing us to gain weight and to become pre-diabetic or get metabolic syndrome or even type 2 diabetes. And that's a direct reflection of a food manufacturing industry that once they got the directive from the U.S. Department of Agriculture to reduce fat, all they could do was increase carbohydrate, and to do so they increased sugar. So it's virtually everything is wrong with the food pyramid, and as many people in the ancestral health world would tell you, the best thing you could do would be to turn it upside down.
Well, you know, it's okay to get things wrong from time to time, but we have some epidemiology. We've got some data. I'm sure everybody's seen this, and I'm sure you have too, which is that horrifying map of obesity over time where you just see states turning from blue to red, starting about from the 50s, coming up through the 2000s. And it's clearly an obesity epidemic, and we clearly have to pin that on something. Would that not be our eating habits?
Absolutely. I don't know what else you would pin it on. It's not, you know, some people assume, well, wait a minute, it must be largely due to our inactivity. We're not moving around that much. We're not exercising. Maybe that's the problem. Mm-hmm. But as we know from the science, 80% of your body composition happens as a result of how you eat. Very little of it is due to how much exercise you do. Now, that's not to say that we shouldn't exercise. We all should. But to think that you can exercise away a bad diet is just faulty logic and faulty reasoning. So it does come down to the food choices. And I want to be clear that, you know, humans are by nature very resilient in many regards. The good news is we can live on just about anything. Bear claws, you know, seaweed, shoe leather. Mm-hmm. You know, we've been shown over history to be able to get through long periods of famine because of our ability to extract calories from whatever we put in our stomachs. That's the good news. The bad news is that a lot of the stuff we put in our stomachs has an effect on our genetic expression. Our bodies are trying to rebuild, recreate, renew, regenerate us every day. And based on the inputs that the genes get, we either turn on genes that store fat, that make us sick, that cause or predispose us to cancer, or we turn those genes off. Then we could turn on genes that build muscle, that give us more energy, that make us more clear thinking. And a lot of these genes operate in a principle we call epigenetics through food signaling. So it's the types of foods that we choose to eat that cause genes to turn on or off. And we can literally discover these, what I call these hidden genetic switches, and make our food choices in such a manner that we can have a much better chance at arriving at the desired outcome. And that might be losing weight, it might be getting off the meds, it might be reducing the ADHD in a young child. All of these things are possible and quite likely based on food choices. It doesn't mean that, you know, if you're somebody who's living on fast food and soda all day, that you're a bad person, or that even that you're going to, you know, you're doomed to die at 50. It just means that you have a greater likelihood of not thriving throughout your lifetime.
Now, Mark, as you brought this up about the whole idea of our flexible genetics and our ability to consume shoe leather if need be, this forms a part of some criticism I've been reading about the paleo diet. I think Scientific American called it half-baked, primarily on that idea alone, that we're much more genetically flexible than perhaps paleo is speaking to. Michael Pollan took time out to speak about what's wrong with the paleo diet. How do you respond to these criticisms?
Again, these are not... We go back to the original premise, which is the confusion among most citizens about, you know, what's the right thing to do. I want to do the right thing. Please tell me what the right thing is. Where's the science? And the answer is there is no right answer. Mm-hmm. There are just choices that we can make based on the data, based on the science. And with regard to the paleo diet or the primal blueprint eating strategy, a lot of the science is based on a combination of evolutionary biology. What did humans thrive on throughout the first 2.5 million years of human history that pretty much forged the genetic recipe that we currently all carry right now? And then how is that borne out in modern genetic science? Every time we do a study now, we have the ability to look at the effect on the genes of whatever that food or that nutrient that we were introducing into the study. what was the effect at a gene level, which is really how all of these things manifest themselves, is at the genetic level. So when you go back to a discourse or complaints about the paleo diet or the primal blueprint, they're really not substantive. They just suggest that there is much more diversity available to the average person. In other words, there are a lot of people that I know that are vegetarians who do very well, who thrive quite nicely on a vegetarian diet. That's difficult to do when you're eating paleo, because a lot of paleo has to do with quality sources of animal protein, animal fat, and so on and so forth. So it's not to suggest that our way is the only way. It's a way that has been proven to work for a lot of people. I mean, on Mark's Daily Apple, we have hundreds of thousands of user experiences. And as you pointed out, Chris, your favorite part of MDA is the Friday success stories. And these are extremely compelling stories of people who've lost massive amounts of weight, have gotten off their medications, have more energy, understand now that it's a way of life that's actually quite easy to embrace. And it probably I think the thing that's most compelling about this way of living, because it's not just the diet, it's how you exercise and sleep and sun exposure and how you play and de-stress and things like that. But the most compelling part of it, it's just really easy to embrace. It doesn't require struggle and sacrifice and calorie counting and portion control and a lot of the other nonsense that you sort of have to embrace if you take on one of the other strategies. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. And, you know, speaking to the science on this, though, I have to confess, as a smart guy trained in the sciences, I still find the whole topic of nutritional science a little perplexing because, you know, one day this thing's considered a superfood that you should eat every meal, and the next day it's reviled and vitamins help. No, they don't. Yes, they do. No, they don't. Correlation and causation are difficult even for the trained to separate, but the casual reader has no hope on this. On and on. What are we to, is there a body of knowledge that we know about that we can rest upon? And what do you do with all this new data that comes out? How do you make sense of it?
Well, so it is interesting that I feel that you, I mean, look, if you go to the man on the street and you start interviewing people about their eating styles, you'll find a variety of eating styles. Now, if you start to challenge their eating styles, it's as if you're challenging their religion. So if I encounter a vegan and we have a discussion about what might be more appropriate style of eating, we're not going to change each other's minds. At least not in that initial conversation. So I tell people, look, if you are searching for a possibility of how to address your issues, whether they be overweight, whether they be arthritis, a predisposition to heart disease, you're on medications, whatever it is, the first thing you do is do a lot of research and literally pick a style an eating style, a style of living, where there's a lot of good, solid research behind it. And you'll find that on some of the vegan sites and some of the vegetarian sites, and you'll find a lot of it on the paleo sites and certainly on Mark's Daily Apple, which is my site. I mean, we've got 4,000 articles we've written in the last 7.5-8 years. It really, at some point, it still is a belief system. I mean, I'm not going to lie. It's difficult to pull out the exact appropriate way of eating for every individual because everyone's different. So there's a point at which you sort of say, okay, I've read enough, I've done enough research that I'm going to commit to this style of eating for a while. And I'm going to do an experiment on myself, and I'm going to eliminate these foods, and I'm going to start to include these foods. I'm going to notice what happens. And that's really what happens to a lot of people who take on a paleo eating strategy, is they'll say, look, I'm just going to do this for 30 days. I'm all in for 30 days. I'll see what I notice. And, of course, people notice almost invariably the weight drops off, the inflammation goes down, the blood sugar normalizes, the blood lipids come back into a range that's indicative of health and a lack of risk of heart disease and so on and so forth. This is sort of a very libertarian approach to taking control of your life and your health, which is really the major part of your life, and doing so in a way that you understand the variables and then are able to put new variables in or introduce new variables along the way, understanding why you're doing it. Okay, if I'm going to take out whole grains, why am I taking out whole grains? Well, I've read so many articles on, you know, why, how grains convert to glucose in the bloodstream, and we don't want that much glucose in the bloodstream. We want to be burning more fat than the typical human, and many of the grains have anti-nutrients like gluten and gliadins and lectins and phytates and saponins, and you know, the more research you do, the more you're able to conduct this experiment on yourself, going, okay, if I give up grains and I notice that my arthritis clears up, or I notice that I've lost weight, or I notice that my sinus infections don't linger, or I don't get sick anymore, there's more than just a correlation there. There may be some causation in my particular genetic component. And then, of course, the obvious conclusion is either I eliminate this stuff forever, and gosh, there's a whole passel of amazingly tasty, healthful foods I can substitute, so it's not like I'm sacrificing anything. Mm-hmm. Or I can continue to do what I was doing and suffer the, you know, the pain of the arthritis or the irritable bowel syndrome or whatever it was that I was trying to address. But at least the choice is mine, and I'm making it consciously as opposed to being a victim of the U.S. Department of Agriculture's advice on how to eat right.
Excellent. So I'd love to, let's make this personal. So I've been eating very well by American standards, and pretty good by paleo standards for a while. And I noticed that I've been feeling pretty run down still. And in particular, my joints were limiting my exercise because they hurt a lot. And so after doing some blood work, got with a really good naturopath who's all about the data. So we did some blood work, and there was some interesting results there. We recently discovered I have huge amounts of circulating antibodies, IgG specifically, mainly against dairy. Eggs were off the charts, top of the line, and grains. So wheat especially. So I think I now know that I've been generally inflamed because I've been having pretty strong reactions to certain foods that I've been eating. And so I've been doing a couple of things. The first is I've now cut those specific inflammatory foods out of my diet, and I've been including more anti-inflammatory things like turmeric, dark berries, things like that. What advice can you give on the whole topic of dietary-induced inflammation? Because that feels like it's been a pretty big mover and shaker in my life. Am I making too much of it? Is it a real thing? And, you know, can it be treated successfully through an improved eating regime?
Well, how do you feel now?
I feel better. It's only been 3 weeks, but I feel
better. It's only been 3 weeks
better.
And you feel better. And, yeah. And you feel noticeably better.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I mean, you just answered your own question. Is, of course, absolutely, most systemic inflammation that we suffer has a dietary etiology. Most systemic inflammation is a result of something that you're eating that's either causing your gut to leak and creating an immune response, or just causing a systemic inflammation throughout because of the high sugar. There are any number of possibilities, but they literally almost all come back to something in your diet, and your job as an interested individual who wants to achieve the optimal health level possible for yourself is to research. And one great way to do that is to go get your blood tested and see if you have inflammatory markers, homocysteine, CRP, IgG, as you saw, and to be able to parse that blood work and go, wow, there's something going on here, and then as you noticed and probably prompted your initial visit, you know, your joints should not be hurting at your age. Mm-hmm. You know, unless you're beating yourself up working out too much, which is another red flag for us. People's joints should not hurt that much. And this is what, I mean, I was a grain eater my whole life. I was a marathon runner and a triathlete, and I felt I needed grains to carb load every single day of my life, up to the point of taking in 700 to 1,000 grams of carbs a day. Mm. And I had irritable bowel syndrome. I had basically arthritis at an early age. Hurt to get up and move every morning. It was ridiculous. And here I was supposed to be one of the fittest people on the planet, and I was really very unhealthy and falling apart. And yet, I defended my right to eat grains because I thought, well, whole grains, they have to be healthy. Come on, whole grains, seriously? Mm-hmm. They've got to be healthy. And yet I started doing, I've been researching this for 30 years, and even as I was reading the research about the problems with grains, I was still defending my own personal right to eat grains because I'm not a celiac, so it must be okay. Well, it wasn't until I gave them up at the age of 47, I mean, I've been doing this for 40 years, for crying out loud, at the age of 47, all within 30 days, my arthritis went away. The irritable bowel syndrome that had run my life since I was 14 cleared up, went away. Sinus infection. So when something that, I didn't need blood markers to even, to prove to me that that was problematic. It was my feeling better that was the big aha moment for me. And I said, wow, if I feel this good giving up grains, especially in light of the fact that I've continued to almost stubbornly defend my right to eat grains because they must be healthy for me. Imagine how many tens of millions of people have similar issues that could be addressed by giving up either grains or eggs or dairy or whatever it is, and simply by just being a little bit more conscious about what they eat, what they put in their mouths, and noticing the difference if they have the discipline to eliminate those foods for a certain period of time and kind of just sit back and notice the results.
I love this idea of the individuality of noticing the results, because the best you can do is come up with some broad guidelines. The food pyramid, if we turned it upside down, is correct, broadly speaking. But then there are the individual things. You know, in my individual readout, I had a sensitivity to almonds as well, which were a big portion of my diet. That's fine. I switched to walnuts, which I had almost no sensitivity to. And with that data, I am now armed with something that's very useful. We've also found through the emerging field of epigenetics, the gut biome, other studies that are showing that DNA is anything but a fixed element, that it has a communication that exists between our bodies and the world. And so I'm just wondering what you've been noticing in that whole field, particularly with the gut biome. Is there any research or data yet supporting the idea that that people either have better or improved or changed for the better gut biomes as a result of
paleo? Oh, absolutely. The gut biome story is the big story for the next 2 years, and has been for the last 6 months or a year. It's the new frontier. We have 100 trillion organisms living in us that are not us. We have 100 trillion cells that are bacteria and 10 to 15 trillion cells that are human. So 90% of the cells in your body are not you. And there's a lot that they're doing. Some of them are helping you digest food. Some of them are creating vitamins. Some of them are feeding the cells lining your gut. And some of them are bad. And this balance in the gut biome between the good bacteria and the bad bacteria is huge. And it's an issue for a lot of people. And it relates back to the food you eat in several ways, one of which is that if the food you eat are causing a leaky gut and the bad bacteria in your gut are leaking into your bloodstream, I mean, that is not a good thing. The gut is supposed to be a barrier to entry and only allow vitamins, minerals, amino acids, simple fatty acids and sugars. But the fact that it's now leaking and allowing in bacteria and setting up an immune response, it's huge. And that's a cause of a lot of people's inflammation and a cause of a lot of people's autoimmune diseases. And that relates back to the gut biome. So that's point number one. Point number two is you have to feed that biome. So the food that you eat is also supporting the bacteria in your gut. And sugar, we know, tends to support the unhealthy bacteria. Some of the prebiotic fibers, resistant starches, inulin, things like that, actually support the healthy bacteria and allow them to produce the short-chain fatty acids that then go on to feed the cells. It is so critical. It does come down to what you eat. So much of your life and so much of your health and so much of your ability to be energetic and healthy for the rest of your life comes down to what you put in your mouth. That part of it is not rocket science. The real rocket science is figuring out within that spectrum what is best for you individually.
Well, everything's an experiment as long as you remember to collect the data. And that's certainly something that's been part of my program here as I've been consciously really altering my diet. It's just a quick daily jot of how I'm feeling and what I'm noticing. And it's helped me really observe and be cognizant of the changes that have been happening, because they are kind of slow and subtle, but not when you compare back 3 weeks ago and say, "Whoa, I wrote that, huh? This doesn't today. I don't sound at all like that." So that's a really good part of this. Now, what I love about what you're doing is that you're out educating people, and that's really what we do at Peak Prosperity. We're just we think that information is the most important thing people can access, and we live in the information age. There's so much available, but it has to be parsed and made available. And I know you've got a lot of books and pieces out, but you've got a new program running soon that is really around helping to educate and bring people up. Can you talk to us about that?
Sure. So we've just introduced the Primal Blueprint Expert Certification Program. This is an online training program. It's 13 modules, multimedia. There's a lot of text, but there are videos. There's a test at the end of each module, and it's designed to allow people to test their knowledge of the Primal Blueprint technologies, if you will, specifically. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we have ways of teaching individuals to become better at burning fat and not so dependent on sugar. We have strategies for hacking your sleep so that you get the most out of your sleep and benefit from the hours of sleeping, or how to figure out how much sun exposure is appropriate for you. This certification is designed for primarily for trainers, for medical and health professionals who want to specifically increase their knowledge in this area. Registered dietitians who historically have had to learn some really dated dogma in terms of the food pyramid. Once they've gotten their degree, now they can have fun implementing some of the Primal Blueprint eating strategies. So it's designed to allow professionals to, you know, literally put on their business card, "I'm Primal Blueprint certified," and if that adds to their income, great. And if it adds just to their knowledge, that's just as great. We've also designed it for just people who aren't intending to make a living doing this, who just want to sort of prove to themselves that they really fully understand all of the concepts that are behind the Primal Blueprint, and to have that sense of knowledge going forward in their lives. That, I mean, it's a real empowerment and confidence when you intuitively know that the choices you're making are serving you well. I mean, that's really what this comes down to, and that's my mission in life, is to educate people on how to make choices that will serve them with the knowledge of what the ramifications of their choices would be. So if you make a bad choice, I'm okay with that, as long as you know what the ramifications of that choice are. If you make the choice willingly and say, "Look, I'm willing to have a you know, an entire piece of cake with ice cream on it because I'm at a friend's party and that's what I'm going to do," and damn it, I'm willing to do that, knowing full well that you're going to suffer for the next 5 hours and why all of these different biochemical reactions are going on in your body, I'm okay with that. You know, it's not about, I just want you to be informed. That's just really my mission in life, is to educate people.
The libertarian eating regime, I get it. It makes sense. We're all informed and we make our choices, and that's where personal responsibility comes in. I can't wait. I personally can't wait to actually take a look at this certification program, because here's what I'm just interested in: how you take that large of a body of work and turn it into a structured way that people can step through it. I'm interested, simply as an observer, how you went about doing that, because that's a lot of work.
Well, we've been working on it for 2.5 years. It's 110,000 words of text.
Wow.
Like I say, there's an exam at the end of each module. They're not easy. They're designed to truly test your knowledge. But I think we've done a great job of distilling it. And of course, there's hundreds of links to additional reading material and things like that. But the idea is we want people to pass. We want people to understand this. And we want them to impart that wisdom to their friends. We feel that this certification is one of the best ways to leverage this incredible technology that we've tapped into, that up to now has really been only offered by, you know, my books and my website and a few other tangential offerings that we have. But this is a way to leverage, you know, so everybody that gets certified is now, you know, can be the go-to expert in their town or their city or their CrossFit box or whatever.
So if somebody really burrows in or starts down the paleo regime, would you say to anybody listening, no matter what their current state of health, that they could improve that?
Absolutely. That's interesting you bring it up as in that way. I think as I go through life and I meet people all over the world, everybody has an issue. And it may be really benign in your point of view, but to them, it's really driving them. You know, they wake up with a little soreness, or they don't have the energy they wish they had, even though they go to the gym and they work out and they think they eat right. So everybody's got some little thing, some little physical thing that still sticks in the back of their mind, like, I need to improve this. I wish I could address this one issue. And that's the sort of, that's what makes this a journey rather than just an end goal. The journey is always sort of, all right, how can I get to the next level? How can I maximize my experience on this earth, given my set of genes? How can I get the most fun, enjoyment, contentment, satisfaction out of my time here? And so that's really, again, that comes back to the essence of the Primal Blueprint is, how do we get the most out of life?
And the expert certification program sounds like a way to really burrow in deep for those who are interested in that. And for people who are interested in the lighter approach, you have a 21-day program people can just download and start, can't they?
Yeah. So we have a 21-day total body transformation. The 21 days is contemplated to be just enough time to take on these new lifestyles and ingrain them as habits. And for the literally for the gene reprogramming to take place, it takes about 21 days. So once you've gone through this really step-by-step hand-holding process that we've outlined, here's what you do day one, here's what you do day two, and so on. At the end of 21 days, you are fully primal, and you decide, wow, if I feel this good, am I in a position to do this for the rest of my life? And the answer is, you know, almost invariably, absolutely.
Absolutely. Well, I can certainly attest in my own life, it's made a big difference in what I've eaten, and getting this additional data was really helpful to me because I was close, but again, I needed some personal tweaking, and I think there's further to go. My first step is fixing a leaky gut, and then after that, I'm going to reassess, and we'll take get some more data, and I'll go for the next thing, because I do feel like it's a journey, but without the data, I wouldn't know where to begin. It's just, you know, in particular with my type of leaky gut, I might eat something on Tuesday and I might not suffer the effects till Friday, and it's too far of a gap for me to figure that out.
No, that's exactly right. And we're lucky that we live in an age where we can quantify a lot of these things. And as much as the Primal Blueprint and the Paleo movement is about kind of, you know, going back and looking at a simple life, eliminating a lot of the trappings of society and technology, the fact that we can use these to our advantage is also really important, to use the data, to collect the data scientifically, and then to go, okay, I see exactly what's happening now. And, you know, 50 years ago, 10 years ago, I couldn't have identified this based on this. I'd still be sort of guessing at what I'm doing.
Well, fantastic. Mark, I really am very much looking forward to checking out this Primal Blueprint Expert Certification Program. I want to see what it looks like and how you did it, and I'm sure it's just going to be a fantastic offering. So with that, your website is marksdailyapple.com, no apostrophe in the marks, but people can get there easily enough. And is there any other place or events that you're running?
Yeah, so if you want to check out the certification, it's at primalblueprint.com, which is basically our store.
Excellent. PrimalBlueprint.com. Check that out there. And anything else? Do you have any events going on or other things you'd like to...
We've always got stuff going on.
Yeah,
so
right.
We've got a big event in Oxnard called PrimalCon coming up the end of September. And then we have more of those coming up next year in 2015. So, but all of that, you can read about all of that on PrimalBlueprint.com.
Well, fantastic. Mark, thank you so much for your time, and thank you for the work you're doing.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me, Chris.